Like your installation is so spectacular in terms of size because you built entire floor, a staircase, and those new inner walls, but you are not demolishing anything within the space. No wall is hooked to the original brick walls. It's like your huge installation is so gentle for the space. It's not intrusive in any way. How are you achieving this? That it looks so solid and so present and so site specific, but actually it's not connected with any form of disruption of the room.
Because I don't try to, I think, to do like a direct confrontation where I cancel the space somehow or come to like attack the space with like breaking a whole wall or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
I try to create this kind of strange second skin.
Mm-hmm.
In the space. So then I'm using part of the proportions of the building, and that already creates a certain shapes or volumes that are natural to the building, but at the same time I'm covering them with materials that also are kind of ephemeral, like this transparent plastics or these plaster boards. And I think like the connection of all this makes that it feels natural to the space what's happening, but at the same time it also gives a very weird situation,
yeah,
where you don't know what's supposed to be part of the building and what's not.
Yes.
And then where are the limits of the intervention as well? Like some people think that it's just a construction site and there is no show. Happens not very often, but it happens. So I like to create this very ambiguous situation where you don't know what's part of what.
Yeah, it's very ambiguous because you are working with those things that look very solid and very fixed, and also they're sort of stopped in the process of making, that they look like that they are deconstructed or constructed.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know, are we dealing with the past or maybe we are dealing with the future? And for instance, you decided to expose one of the walls of real walls of Extra City. So you took out the exhibition wall to show the how looks the back of that wall. So the brick solid wall and maybe a bit of a feeling of that is covering the windows. And this looks almost like your intervention, but this is purely what you exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also this like dealing with what is found, what is maybe added.
Yeah, yes, and it also it highlighted the some temporalities of the building, of like what's part of like what happened to the building and what's happening now to the building, and like is it always been visible this part or not?
Mm-hmm.
Did I uncover it, or is it always like this, and then people who don't know the space can think that then I cover the rest of the space?
Yes,
which actually is not the case. And also showing those elements of the original architecture then makes you have a link with the outside of the building, these corridors we talked
yes.
at the beginning with the light shaft, where you also see those elements. So it allows you also to open up the space to what's happening outside.
And this working with those pores, this being transparent, having a different point of view, it's something very dominant in this exhibition, because you are working with many transparent walls. And although there is quite a lot of divisions in the space, from various points you can see really the entire installation quite deep, which is very interesting that you work with sort of like layers of vision. And although you seem to be cut out from certain parts of the room, thanks to the transparent walls, you can explore further just with your eyes the entire installation.
Yeah, I like to create situations where, depending on the position you have, these semi-transparent walls become either very light, very transparent, or by their superposition of layers of these walls, they become very solid, and then there is this the space became kind of more porous and more transparent and then more flexible in a way, or not, depending how you position yourself in the space and the experience you have of the space. And as you were saying also, the way these walls are built with this transparent plastic and these wooden structures that are holding this plastic, you don't know if it's a temporary construction or if it's it's going to be built further and then become a real wall, or someone maybe teared apart the walls and this is what was under these walls. The idea is to create kind of these confusions and ambiguity between the status of the wall. Is it being constructed, deconstructed? Is it older parts of the building that weren't seen until now that now are visible, or is it like a new addition to the space? I think I like to play with all these elements, and even for people who know the space, there are elements that maybe they are not sure about. Mm-hmm. Like, are the wooden structures around the installation actually always been there and I just
exposed them,
or are there something I added to the space? So the idea is to try to blur all these elements that usually allowed you to understand the chronology of the space or the structure of the space.
This is also very interesting how you work with balancing the our instinctive idea how things are, how heavy they are, for instance, because you look at these very light walls on the ground floor and then you look up and you see this entire constructed floor that was not there earlier, and it seems to be that this entire floor is almost like levitating. It's like, how come this solid construction above can lying on such a, let's say, fragile construction. This is really amazing how you also balancing with questioning what our ideas about architecture. We tend to project lots of things on architecture, that it's functional, that it's predictable, that it follows...
It's very solid as well.
It's solid, that it's rational. And what is about your installations? It seems to be naturally logic, but not in a functional way. Mm-hmm. It is an architectural way of a logic or a specific spatial logic. It doesn't seem to be solid, although it's so big and so made of those industrial materials, concrete, wooden beams and so on. But it's also so delicate, so fragile. It looks like you don't know if those things are linked solidly, or is this just like a temporary thing? You're like, for instance, the staircase. I think every person who goes on the staircase has a little bit like a faster heartbeat, because it seems to be like it's just stacked of a smaller gips elements. I don't know, how would you call those?
These leftovers of
materials, yeah. Construction materials, but it's formed into a beautiful staircase, quite wide, in different shades of gray, and the coloring is beautiful. And it also has an arch, a corridor closed with arch that you can go under the staircase. Yeah, tell me a little bit, like how you deal with this temporality and solidity. Expectations toward architecture.
About the solidity and the temporality of architecture, I think, as I was saying before, I really like to have a confusing or ambiguous situation where people don't know really how solid things are, or is it real concrete, or is it fake, or is it here since the beginning or not. And the staircase, to understand also like how the staircase came there, I mean, obviously there was a need to find a way to go upstairs.
Yeah, to show this.
To show this second floor. But the structure of the staircase is it's made out of the leftovers of material from precedent shows. And this is because from show to show, I dismount all the materials from the installation, I bring it back to the studio.
So
I
you
store
recycle
them.
Always.
I reuse all the all the material from show to show. So in a way, it's kind of like this big stack of elements.
So does it mean that also some elements from your very first installations
exactly
are here? Like,
exactly.
Since when are you working with that kind of way of recycling?
I think it's been more or less 10 years. Some elements apart from the very first shows I had, and then this group of materials, they kind of kept growing,
mm-hmm.
and being reused from space to space, from show to show, and that's something I really like, because not only because of this idea of reusing the materials and the whole economy that it's related to it, but also because it's in a way it's always this stock of materials or this that became kind of an organic body, changing its shape, adapting to each show, each architecture that's hosting it, and creating this symbiotic relationship between those two narration, the one from like the architecture that's hosting and the one from the materials that are adapting to the space. And so when I bring all the materials to the studio, there are always bits that are too small to be used for building a new wall, for example, or a new beam. But those are elements that I kept. There is no trash, let's say.
So normally they would be treated as a waste, but you are still...
I still keep them and organize them in my storage. And the staircase is mainly built of all those small bits that
mm-hmm.
are left over from all these years. In a way that you would have like this strata,
mm-hmm.
this accumulation of material that creates a staircase at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives it a lot of flexibility and also solidity, because it's stacked material, but at the same time you don't know, is the whole staircase stacked material, or is it
how possibly this stays
exactly,
together,
especially because it's not just stack material in a huge staircase, there's also a corridor and an arch under it that kind of break the logic of like, of course it's just stack material, because it's
hollow,
it's a bit
inside,
weird that
yeah.
you have like a hollow corridor under it and still you don't see the structure of how it's built, so you cannot know if it's like just fully stacked material or not, because at the same time it's very solid when you walk on it, and that was a way to also confuse the reading of the space, and also create another confrontation between the different narration, let's
mm-hmm.
say, of the architecture of the installation, since the staircase is not following the logic of the rest of the walls
mm-hmm.
and the tile diagram,
grid, yeah.
the tile grid of the floor. But it's rather following the orthogonality of the building.
Yes.
But same time, it's not from the same temporality of the building. So then there is this different timelines or architectures that are confronted to each other, having a dialogue. And from those, there is these results that like the second floor, the orientation of the second floor and the orientation of the staircase that questions the logic of the whole system that's created in the
yes.
in installation. And once you go upstairs, then you see this new floor,
mm-hmm.
which is...
It looks again like a concrete...
It looks again like very solid, because it's a concrete floor.
Also, it's very beautiful because it has inside a small pieces of screws, metal screws that are polished. It almost looks like fossils left in concrete, which is very beautiful. I think also time consuming detail to make that kind of
and they also insist on like
fossils.
Is this a floor very old, and this is like some leftovers that were mixed in the concrete and they were polished by time, or is it like an intervention? And that was also an interesting element for me, to add temporality and these strange gestures into these very kind of brutal materials.
And also the contrast with the ceiling, which is wooden, archy, very well done and decorative wooden ceiling.
And then
that you can
brutal,
touch finally.
Yeah, exactly.
And on the floor you have this very brutal, almost industrial floor with a pool of concrete sand.
It's unmixed cement, so it's this dust that also creates this very, very strange, almost absurd situation. We don't know if it's that someone started doing a demolition of the floor, or is it just that it's the floor is not finished, or it's the idea is to create again this kind of confusing situation where you don't know the utility of this space and the reason of this space.
It's a confusing situation, but for visitors it helps to follow a certain parkour upstairs. It is like this, somehow people, while entering that space, they know what to do there, like how to circulate in this space. So walk around.
They naturally walk around this area, and I think it also gives a certain resting moment after the ground floor. You arrive at the first floor, and after the staircase, you have this resting moment. With again these strange things such as the screws in the floor and the dust and the blurred rosettes that are in the space, that are blurred with this plastic foil. It's the same foils that are in the ground floor for the walls, and I think it gives you also again a different appreciation of the same space you are traversing. And different temporality compared to the ground floor before you go down and then you continue seeing.
Yes, it's very calm space. It's a place that's somehow naturally you can contemplate and enjoy the view, how big it is. Here there's no inner walls that block the vision.
It's strange because it's the same area surface than downstairs, and the appreciation you have from it is completely different because it's an open space.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also something interesting for me, how downstairs almost seems bigger than upstairs.
Yes,
while
much
it's
bigger.
Much crowded downstairs than upstairs, and still you have the opposite impression. And that's also I think an interesting way of playing with the appreciation you have of the building.
One of the pleasant moments of visiting this installation is going, taking this staircase way back, because then you see in the same time both levels and the contrast, that dark downstairs only with some TL lights, some neons, and full of light upstairs, but also with this very industrial floor. It is nice.
You also see all the layers of the construction,
exactly.
Of the floor, and
that's a very beautiful viewpoint. If someone will have a chance to see before the 1st of December, this exhibition is definitely to have a look.